Good morning, prayer warriors. Mark here. Hey, it's just another great day to be able to just lift up our voices to God and just have that vertical relationship with Him, that we can just talk directly to Him. And let's just kind of go to Him in prayer just for a second, then ask for wisdom and guidance today. Dear Lord, we just glorify Your name. We just give thanks. Just thank You for these few moments together, just that You can just bless us. Whether we deserve it or not, You bless us, Lord. Thank You for granting us this day, this amazing day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey there, prayer warriors. It's just another great week, and so happy to be here with you just for a couple of minutes. And we're kind of looking at prayer in the book of Acts. In the Gospels, each one of the authors in the Gospels, talk about prayer. And then Luke, in the Gospel, he talks a little bit more about prayer. And then in the book of Acts, he has lots to say about prayer. And he's writing this kind of from the third person. And we've taken a look at chapters 1 through 6. And chapters 1 through 6 have got a lot. They're praying for people. They're laying hands on people. And it's the early church. It's really the church that we ought to be like. Our churches, I pray that our churches would be just like that early church. Yeah, and it's not without, contention and things like that. It wasn't a perfect church. It was not a perfect group of people who call themselves Christians, just as we do. They had some things as they're growing. They had growing pains, as we took a look before this, there in chapter 6, the Hellenists, the Greeks, the Greek Jews who had become Christians, as opposed to the Jews there in Israel who had become Christians, they said, hey, you're taking care of the widows who were Jewish Christians and not the Greek Jewish Christians. And so what they had done there in chapter 6, just as a quick look back, they appointed seven men to be kind of the elders over this new ministry to take care of both the widows from the Jewish Christians and then from the Greek Christians as well. And so they're taking care of the widows, and one of the standouts of those seven men was a guy named Stephen. And Stephen was just, if you take a look at Acts 6, starting there, they had prayed and laid hands on these men, to include Stephen, and the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So they're out there witnessing and praying and doing amazing things. And Stephen, full of faith and power, they single him out. Luke in the book of Acts singles him out. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Well, of course, so here's this, the Jewish faith had been around for thousands of years. And suddenly here's this young Christian man in Jerusalem. He's upsetting the apple cart. He's kind of tell them, hey guys, this is not quite right. And so what happens in any case like that, when they're speaking the truth, is people will start going behind their back. And in this case, it says there were some arose from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, and they were disputing Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And so Stephen's out there speaking the truth, and he's praying, and he's doing amazing things. But these folks were kind of going, hey, he's rocking the boat. He's upset the apple cart. And so they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, and they seized him. They grabbed Stephen. They snatched him up, and they brought him to the council. And so they also brought false witnesses. How many times do we see that now, that somebody will go behind somebody's back, whether it's politics, whether it's our national politics or local or families, in churches, they bring false witnesses, and they accuse people of doing things that they didn't do. How many times have you had that happen in your life, in our lives? Well, anyway, so they bring him before this council, and the high priest says, are these things so? as you look at chapter 7. Well, Stephen starts in with this amazing speech, and he ends it in prayer. And he goes back because he was a Jew, number one. He was a young man, and so he knew the Old Testament. He knew about Abraham, and he knew the history of the Jewish culture, and he knew the foibles. He knew the drawbacks, you know. Everybody complained, you know, when Moses even was gone, you know, on the mountain, you know, they built golden calves when he led them out of Egypt. They complained, and God was doing amazing things in their lives. And so he takes them through all of chapter 7, you know, and he's making a pitch to them saying, Abraham did this, and Moses did this, and all the way up through the entire lineage through David and Solomon and all of the patriarchs. And so it's just interesting because he's Jewish and he's a young scholar. He knows all of these things. However, because he's also Greek, he was probably raised in the Socratic method of speech. And that means he knew how to lay everything out in an argument that had a conclusion. You know, so many times we just argue with somebody and throw stuff against the wall. We don't know what we're talking about, and sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't. However, Stephen lays out this entire court case before this council, before his accusers, and he gets all the way over there to Acts, you know, we'll pick it up there in Acts 7:51. He gets through this entire case that he's laid out. And then he probably turns to the council as he stands before his accusers. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Whoa! I mean, that just really probably struck them in the hearts. As he continues to make his case, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. Who foretold the coming of Jesus, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and not kept it. When they heard things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they, the council, the accusers, cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears. They wouldn't listen to him. They ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city. They took him out. They carried him up physically, cast him out, and stoned him. They stoned him for speaking the truth. They were killing him because he spoke the truth. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. They laid their clothes down, their cloaks, at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we'll get to. And they stoned Stephen, and he called on God. Stephen is being stoned, and he calls on God, this vertical relationship he has with God. And he's calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knows he's going to die there. Then he knelt down. Stephen kneels down. He cries out in a loud voice. He prays. He cries out in a loud voice to God. He prays, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They killed him. They killed him for speaking the truth. However, what we really need to take away today is that prayer at the end. He knew he was dying, but he knew where he was going, and he called out to God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not charge them with this sin, his murder. Do not charge them. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. I would probably be yelling and screaming and fighting. But here is this young man, Stephen, who is that prayer warrior that we need to take a look at, that we need to consider. Are we like him? Do we have that faith? Do we Are we that prayer warrior? So I encourage you to read that. Hey, I just think you're all doing an amazing job out there. Just keep up those prayers, just daily and hourly. Have a blessed week. Take care.